made it out of clay. And when it's dry and ready, oh, dreidel, I shall play.
Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio this morning is my guest and friend, David Volek. David, good morning.
Good morning, Rob.
And we started with some dreidel this morning because it's one way that I think non-Jews access Hanukkah, the dreidel. We know latkes are being eaten. Hmm. We know menorahs are being lighted starting Sunday at sundown, but like everything, like Christmas, even there's really so much more here. And my question for you, David Volek, mm-hmm. is what is the significance of Hanukkah to you and other contemporary Jews today?
Well, that is a very large question, Rob, as usual. And impossible to answer on one leg.
In 10 words or less.
Exactly. So at the risk of running motor mouth, I guess, I was thinking about that this morning. Why are we still celebrating this holiday? And I think anybody who's doing some kind of ceremony or engaging in some kind of behavior should be asking yourself the question, why am I doing this? And that's mm-hmm. a tough question to ask. But Judaism, and especially mystical Judaism, is completely focused on why. That's why young Jewish children are encouraged to ask a lot of questions, which can get a little bit irritating at times. But you have to ask yourself, why are we celebrating this holiday? Why are we lighting menorahs for over 2,000 years? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's not a little walk in the park. And so I thought about it. It's like if it's just a commemoration of some kind of historical event, it becomes a little bit trite. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just me. In my mind, it becomes like, oh, that's cute. That's nice. You guys have a lot of tradition. And it's like the end of the conversation. But if you follow mysticism, why am I lighting this menorah? And so it becomes very contemporary because I was born now. I'm alive now. I'm not alive 2,000 years ago, so I don't want to reenact the battlefield. Mm-hmm. What does this mean to me? So when you ask yourself that question and you look deeper into Hanukkah, it becomes immensely profound.
Right, because it does commemorate a battle. It is
absolutely
it's this historic holiday, but the reason, I think what you're suggesting, the
right.
reason people continue to do it isn't really about the battle.
Exactly. Well, it is in a mystical way.
Right.
Because
okay.
the actual battle is 2,000 years ago. So if that's what you're commemorating, it becomes hollow, like a shell. Mm-hmm. So what's the fruit inside the shell, right?
Okay.
So the question is, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is it's called a holiday of miracles. And everyone loves miracles. So I'm going to talk a little bit about miracles for a second if we have a moment.
Sure.
So in Hebrew, the word miracle is nes, which means a banner. And so these are kind of the flags, the banners you hold in front of you when you march. And they have a crest on them and they mean something. You're supposed to read them. So why is there a miracle? Because in mysticism, the creator is anti-miracle. He disfavors miracles. It doesn't want them to happen because the rules of the universe, physics and natural law, create a world where free choice can occur. And that's the game of life. But that's a deeper conversation. We won't get into that right now. But we must have free choice. So if miracles are popping up everywhere and the sea is splitting when you want to get to your boat or Middle Island, and, mm-hmm. you know, man is just falling down from the sky and you don't need to go to the back door or whatever, you would always know, oh my God, there's this God, there's this creator, there's miracles everywhere, and you wouldn't have free choice. It would mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
So miracles are disfavored. But in this holiday, there were two major miracles. That's when nature and the laws of nature are broken. And that, in Hebrew, is a banner. Look at it. Why? So the two miracles are the battle that you refer to. Just briefly, the Greek Empire was in control of the known world at that time. They were the military power, but they were also the cultural power, the Hellenists. And they were seeking to stamp out what they viewed as an irrational religion, Judaism. And Judaism became illegal on pain of death. Mm-hmm. And so a small uprising of priests and farmers, with pitchforks and stones, took on the Greek battalions, 40,000 strong, on elephants, shields. Picture it in your mind, man. Jason and the Argonauts, right?
I'm thinking Brad Pitt in armor.
Totally. Looking good. Mel Gibson with his mullet.
Okay.
Okay? I'm talking about that. Major battle. Mm-hmm. And the farmers won and defeated the superpower of the day. This is not normal.
Miracle one.
Physical miracle. Mm-hmm. Miracle two. The temple in Jerusalem was defiled by the Greeks, which is a very interesting question. If we have time, remember to go back to that. Why did they do that? They didn't destroy the temple. They didn't use the temple. They defiled it. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'll put that on hold.
Okay,
so the second miracle was defiled temple. They found one jar of kosher oil with the seal of the high priest to light the menorah in the temple. They did not settle for less. Jewish law would have allowed them to use the dirty oil. They wanted to do the best and use that one jar and throw caution to the wind, whatever. I'm going to do my best. And that jar broke the laws of nature. That jar had only the energy, the petro energy in it, for one day. And it kept burning. And they kept coming back every morning going, what in the...
Mm-hmm.
And I'll leave that blank. Okay? So they were like, this was not normal. For 8 straight nights, it just kept burning.
Okay. Sidebar, David.
Sidebar, go.
Sidebar, what's the significance of the menorah before Hanukkah?
Awesome question.
Okay.
I want to talk in Kabbalah or Jewish mysticism. Everything physical teaches a spiritual lesson. So we don't disregard the physical world at all. So the menorah was pounded out of one ingot of gold, and it was a candelabrum of 7 different branches, meaning 7 different pathways, meaning you look different than me, I look different than you, people wear different clothes, speak different languages, believe different things. There are 7 different branches of life. Don't stress out about it. We're all pounded from the same ingot of gold. So there's unity among us, even though it might not look that way. Mm-hmm. That's a cool piece of the menorah.
Interesting.
The other piece, how are we doing on time? Sorry, just, I'm going crazy here.
Proceed.
Okay, the other piece is lighting the menorah. And particularly with Hanukkah, the law says, the halacha, we light at night. You can't light while there's still light in the sky. And the holiday is at the darkest part of the year. Surprise! It's solstice, everyone. Mm-hmm. So there, it's so dark right now, and darkness is the absence of light. And so the menorah is the contradiction to that. It's striking and creating light. And the cool thing is, a little bit of light banishes a lot of darkness. And you can see this from one match in a dark room. Strike one little match and watch how it banishes darkness. Mm-hmm. So the menorah's job is to light away the darkness. And we do it in our window or our doorway, because it's not just enough that I light my house. The illumination needs to spread out into the street and to help other people to see.
Mm-hmm.
excuse me. How are we doing on time?
Good. Rob? David, mm-hmm. we do have to eventually come to a conclusion here.
Okay. I need my own show.
I'm the fool to ask you to come in here and try and explain this in 10 minutes. But I'm wondering, is the act of lighting the menorah for contemporary Jews a way to tap in, to transcend for an evening? I mean, sort of the veil of modernism.
You hit the word.
Okay.
The word is transcend. Mm-hmm. So let's go back to why the miracles. The miracles occurred through a mystical concept called Mesiras Nefesh, which means to give over yourself to something you believe in. And our battle every day is selfishness. We're consumed with ourselves. We try not to be. But when we break that pattern, we release an infinite energy. And that's how these farmers were able to defeat the Greeks. They did Mesiris Nefesh, and it releases this infinite strength. And also the jar of oil, the one jar, is to show you that the laws of nature don't need to apply to you. If you break that inner narrowness and tap into the oil, you have infinite strength. You'll keep burning brighter and brighter and brighter. And this is the message of the menorah. Every day, to keep increasing another candle, get brighter and brighter and brighter through this concept of Mesiris Nefesh, giving over yourself. And that's why, my friend, I light the menorah in 2008. It's not to commemorate a battle. It's to understand the spiritual service of getting brighter and brightening the world so much that there's no more darkness. And that's the point of Hanukkah.
David, I think that I and hopefully everybody else who wishes you a happy Hanukkah this week understands more of the significance of this really remarkable and deep,
very
deep festival.
If I had more time, it'd get weirder. But it's a fantastic holiday. So happy Hanukkah, Rob. I appreciate it. I know we kind of talked about how sometimes it can feel a little weird when people are saying happy Hanukkah, but it actually shows a cool sensitivity that we as Jews appreciate.
David, if I had one thing to wish for, I would wish that we could have this conversation again sometime in the future.
Amen. Happy holidays to everyone, Rob.
Happy Hanukkah to you, David Volek.